Back to Overtime with Grandy, Manson, and Bennett with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
Final score, Niners 36, Seahawks 24. That highlight you just heard, Al Michaels on Amazon. If you're in the Bay, you probably watched it on KTVU Channel 2. 76-yard touchdown catch and run. Brock Purdy to Deebo Samuel. I don't know how all you guys felt watching that play specifically, but when I first saw Brock Purdy uncork that ball to Deebo Samuel, he was wide open. I thought, oh, touchdown, touchdown Deebo. Then I saw the safety come over, and I thought, oh, no, pick six, yeah. Then I thought, oh no, Deebo Samuel's about to get lit up, and then Deebo Samuel caught it. The safety somehow missed the ball and Deebo entirely, and Deebo, once he gets his sight set on the end zone, no one catches him, and he gets into the end zone. That made it 10-0 Niners. At that point is when I felt this might turn into more than just a win. It might turn into a rout, because what followed was the fumbled kickoff by the Seahawks, and then the red zone woes showed themselves again. You settle for a field goal, but still 13-0. It became 16-0. It ultimately became 23-3 in the third quarter. Seattle got back within a score a couple of different times. Ultimately, the final score is 36-24. But it was just good to see a big play. Deebo Samuel get involved. You always have the feeling Deebo primetime games against a good opponent, a game where Niners have to have it. This is a script tailor-made for Deebo Samuel. And while he only touched the ball, what, three catches and four carries? I mean, he was effective. A big part of it was because of that 76-yard touchdown, but he had his fingerprints on this game early.
Deebo Samuel was clocked in the 40-yard dash with a 4.48, which is fine. That's just like a
nothing special.
Mid.
Yeah,
I have never seen him get run down from behind. I swear, Deebo Samuel with the ball in his hands is the fastest player in the world. It's crazy. It's insane. So Julian Love, the safety that missed on that, told reporters after the game he thought he had the interception, which, like, same. And he said he took a bad angle, and that's it. Looked like he just got there early and then didn't want to interfere, but still tried to play the ball. It was awkward, but man, the Niners will take it for all the weird bounces they've had this year and for all the things they've had not go their way this year. Getting that one to go their way was nice, and having it turn into a touchdown. And not a big play where, oh man, all right, they're at the 12. Oh boy.
Yeah, that's a touchdown where you did not even have to run from the red zone.
I am less confident. I'm going to say what, I think they figured some stuff out tonight, but I was less confident in them scoring a touchdown from the 12 than I was when they had it on their own 10. Like, on their own 10, it's like, all right, hey, any big play, they could get six. They get to the 12, it's like, oh boy. Like,
here we go.
We even said after the fumble on the ensuing kickoff, it was like that they were up 10-0 at that point.
The Deebo touchdown made it 10-0. Yeah.
So the Deebo touchdown makes it 10-0. They get great field position after the fumble. And we said, dude, if they get a field goal here, they're going to lose. If they get a field goal here, we're going to get on the air and we're going to go, hey, that's a tough loss. It's hard not to go back to the fumble and not punching it into the end zone. It turned out to not matter, but boy, it almost did. The red zone stuff is still a little scary, but it looked like they figured something out tonight.
Yeah. No, they definitely figured something out tonight. And, I mean, they started, what, 0-for-2 in the red zone, and then they finished 2-for-4. So they got touchdowns on their last two red zone appearances. Although it might have been 3-for-5 with that last one, Cal Juszczyk. I'll have to double-check on that in a second. But it was at a point where you were still concerned about it early, and you went further than just saying we were going to lose, the Niners were, Kyle. But you even said to me, and I think you tweeted out, tagging both Sterling and I. You can follow Kyle, what? Kyle at Kyle A. Madsen on Twitter.
Yeah, you can if you want.
Me at Mark Grandy, Sterling at 49ers underscore access. But you said if the Niners settle for this field goal, you make it 13-0 instead of 17-0. You're going to look back at this moment as we talk here on Overtime about that was the moment
was it.
When you could have put the game away and you failed, and that's why you're dealing with maybe a third consecutive double-digit lead blown. And it kind of, I mean, to your credit, it kind of felt that way at certain points in the second half. I mean, Sterling, all the way until the Isaac Guerrero long run that set up the Juszczyk touchdown to end this game, the game was in the balance. There was a very real possibility that the Niners were going to blow not a 10-point fourth-quarter lead, but a 20-point third-quarter lead. That would have been a disaster.
The pessimistic side of me was like, they're going to lose this game 24-23, exactly what happened last Sunday. And we're going to sit back and say, oh, the red zone issues, and they couldn't run the football, and the defense on third downs. And we're going to say, same old story almost all year long. Like, how long can this continue to happen before something changes? Whether it's a personnel issue or a coaching thing, like, the bow has to break eventually. And thankfully, San Francisco kind of glued that bow back together and said, it's all good, boys. We saved off a terrible comeback by Seattle. But yeah, like, early in this game, we've seen this before. San Francisco jolts out to an early lead against the Rams, against the Cardinals. Great. Like, here we go again. And you're like, gosh, like, when, like, you're just waiting for the inevitable. Mm. Here comes the collapse. The offense can't score. The defense can't get off the field. And Grendo's massive play. And even then, like, going back to the red zone issues, I think it was 3rd and 4. They got the interception by Green. It's 3rd and 4. I'm like, just run the ball. Get the field goal. Make it a 2-score game. And Kyle Shanahan said, nope, I'm going to pass the football. Which, he's a rather conservative head coach. In normal times, it feels like he'd take the field goal and make it a 2-score game. He said, nope, I'm going to go for the dagger. Which, they've been trying to kind of go for the dagger here and there. The Patriots game was a big example of that. Purdy throws the pick in the end zone or close to the end zone. Could have been a dagger. They went for the throat in this game. And it was like, finally. Like, San Francisco didn't just go for it, they actually got it. It's like, that's what we've been waiting to see all year long from this team. And whether it continues, time will tell. But at least for right now, on a Thursday at 9:11 at clock, like, hey, like, it worked. And they won, and they got 36 points on the board. That hasn't happened all year long, and it's a great win. And the first win on the road in a raucous Seattle crowd, which the San Francisco fans, the faithful, ate a lot of red in those seats tonight. Yeah. It was a great turnout from San Francisco.
And there was some Let's Go Niners chants in the second half.
Yeah, I never would have expected out there.
Yeah. It was awesome to see for a place that, as you guys have been talking about already, has been a house of horrors. I know for, like, my generation of Niner fans, like, the first real, and it's our generation of Niner fans, all three of us, the first real good Niner teams that I can remember was the Harbaugh era, and that's when the Seahawks were good as well, the Legion of Boom and all of that, and the Seahawks kind of just stayed good between the Niners' two windows of being good, and it seemed like every time, even when the Niners had a good team, you go up to Seattle, not the very least, you were in for the most physical football game of the year, and generally, you were going to lose that game. Shanahan and this era of Niners football has kind of flipped that script. Seattle hasn't been as good during this era as they were in the earlier Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson days, but still a hard place to play, and anytime you come away with the win in Seattle is a really, really nice moment. Let's go back out to the phones here on Overtime. As promised, Rich in Fremont is up next. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 888-957-9570. Rich, what's up? You're on Overtime on 95.7 The Game. How you feeling, Rich?
I'm feeling good, Mark Grandy. Hey, first of all, Mark, I want to give a big shout-out to you. Met you at, and wait a minute, and your family at the Red and Gold Summit in Fremont Bank. That was huge. And I'll tell you something. Anytime you can meet a radio host and their family all in one suit, look, that's all big, okay?
Shout out, Rich. We appreciate you attending the Red and Gold Summit.
That's right. That's right. And I got to represent 95.7 The Game. It's what you do when you're in the Bay. So, look, let's keep it real. Up until you had the Ronaldo Green interception, you weren't sure. None of us were sure. All of a sudden, and this has been a big question. Let's keep it real. It's been a question. We've had five games, and you're wondering, okay, how is the defense going to come up? We don't have starters. We don't have, you know, we don't have Dre Greenlaw. We don't have our guys. You know, Tarvarius Ward is not playing tonight. And so you're looking going, okay, look, and it wasn't because Seattle was better. It was just because of what we've seen. And what have we seen? We've seen the Niners compete, but they couldn't bring a closer. And so you're thinking, okay, what are we going to do tonight? What's going to happen? And so all of a sudden, it's looking the same. It's 23-10, and you're thinking, oh, here we go. We've seen this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, so we're going to look at it again? We're going to see this movie again. There was the popcorn's getting stale, okay? The butter doesn't taste the same. This is an old movie, and we're tired. But Ronaldo Green comes up huge as a rookie against DK Metcalf. You're like, wow. You're like, wow. And it's like, once that happens, all of a sudden, the floodgates open. Okay, now you're like, okay, wait a minute. And then Garendo realizes, oh, wait a minute. I got 4.33 speed. I can get to the outside. Once I get to the outside, I can use my speed. And when he does, Seattle defense, the secondary goes, wait, what? Wait a minute. You got 4.33. Oh, no. And now all of a sudden, guess what? Garendo's down the sideline. And had he had made that last-minute adjustment, he would have scored. So, in my opinion, hats off this nice defense. They deserve it. They worked hard. Look, wait a minute. Fred Warner was Fred Warner, and Bosa put the pressure, and guess what? But it started with the green. You got the green. You got the money. You make the purchase. Ronaldo Green, rookie, stepped up against DK Metcalf. Huge. Once he did that, we were able to close the deal. And it's a fourth quarter. We closed it.
Yeah.
So, hey, guess what? Coffee is for closers.
you're right, Rich. The Ronaldo Green the Ronaldo Green interception on the DK Metcalf, the throw from Geno Smith over the middle of the DK Metcalf. I mean, there's so many big plays in this game, but that was a one-score game in the fourth quarter, and it turned into an immediate scoring scenario for the Niners.
Because the coffee plant is green before you extract the bean from the shell.
Yeah.
See, that's where I see where he was going.
Yeah, it went
that's
right over just, my head.
See, okay, yeah. Very good.
All right, I'm done.
He's out of here. No, was that play of the game for you guys, the interception?
Yes.
The Ronaldo Green interception?
I think so.
Game-saving. Arguably, at this point, NFC West divisional saving play.
It was 23-17 Niners in the fourth quarter. Seahawks just got the ball back after forcing a Niner punt.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been able to move the ball in the second half ever since the kickoff return for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. They've been getting chunks both on the ground and through the air. Yeah. And not only did you get the ball back, but you also handed your offense a red zone opportunity immediately. Mm-hmm. And they turned it into points. And it's a big reason why they won the game. So, yeah, I think I'm with you. Play of the game. Ronaldo Green.
Because even if they get a field goal there, like the Kittle touchdown was big, obviously. But even if they get a field goal there, it's still nine.
Yeah.
It still would have been a two-score game. So I think I'm with you. That flipped the game for sure.
This game was very poetic almost, right? You've been here twice. You know, George Lucas often says it's like a circle. Everything is in poetry. It rhymes. I'm a plethora of cinema knowledge tonight, boys. I'm sorry.
Love this for you.
but like, it's poetic, right? You've been here before against the Cardinals. Your defense had an opportunity to get that big turnover on downs, and they just couldn't do it. In fact, took a miraculous fourth down conversion by Kyler Murray to even give the Cardinals a chance to win that game, which kudos to those guys. They got the win, whatever, but your defense just could not make that one play, and your offense, when they got a shot, couldn't put the game away, whether it's a drop pass against the Rams, Ronnie Bell, Purdy not taking shots downfield to Ayuk, or throwing a pick against the Cardinals. Like, they just haven't been able to make that one play. And on back-to-back drives, Green's pick, Purdy's touchdown pass to Kittle, they make two plays and put this game away for all intents and purposes. Like, it was like, finally, like, something has clicked for this team on defense and on offense.
Yeah, and it came not immediately after, but relatively soon after. You had the fiasco on the Seahawks
punt return
where it
should have been a muffed punt. And Niners punt away, Seahawks back to return it. It was Chris Connolly, I think, who was the gunner on that play for the Niners. He gets blocked into the punt returner for the Seahawks. They ultimately review it, or they determine that Connolly gets that blocked into him. So no flag on Connolly, but they say that the Seahawks didn't touch it, and the Niners recovered it. Who was it? I think it was Jalen Graham, I think, on the recovery. And he was there immediately, to his credit, immediately fell on it. There was an immediate recovery, but it was ruled on the field. No muffed. It was not touched by the Seahawks. Kyle Shanahan, I think a lot of people were saying not smartly, but it turned out to be smart, challenged the play. And after we got the final review, the final result of the review from the officials, we saw a great, like, two angles on the Amazon broadcast.
Clear as
that,
day.
That clear as day. Like, it touched two fingers on the Seahawks punt returner's left hand, I think, if memory serves. Maybe you're right. Right hand?
Right hand.
Whatever.
Right.
One of his hands, whichever hand it was.
Get
doesn't
it right,
matter.
Mark. Jeez.
It touched him. It touched his hand.
It's unacceptable!
It is my fault, Chasky. Sorry about that. Touched his right hand, and Jalen Graham fell on it. But what the explanation that we got from...
This is insane.
Was it Terry McCauley? Whoever it was.
Walt Anderson?
Whoever it was, sorry. Terry McCauley's the NBC guy. Whichever,
I think it's Walt
the
Anderson.
Amazon referee insider.
This is the most insane thing I've ever heard in my life.
Said that the NFL refereeing headquarters, or whatever you call it, didn't have access to, like, the special angles and the enhanced camera view, the enhanced video that the
Kyle's
Amazon broadcast has access to. How does the viewer of these football games have better access to replay reviews than the actual NFL HQ? That makes no damn sense to me.
I've got an idea.
Uh-oh.
Turn on Amazon Prime! You don't have access? We do. We got you.
Also,
here's my login.
Hey, NFL, I'll send you my login.
You can have it. In fact, you know what? You can also pay for it. You got it, NFL. If I got it, you got it, right? There is not a world in 2024 where Mark Grandy, Kyle Madsen, Sterling Bennett, and everybody here should have access to better replays than the people in charge of getting the call right.
Man.
That is insane. You know what? I will sacrifice that on my video so they can have it.
Yes.
Whatever has to happen that they get to have that instead of me, that's fine. But that is... I know this sounds overdramatic, the Niners won, whatever, but that is unacceptable that is the reality, that the viewer at home can have better access to replays than the people who need to get the damn call right. Outrageous.
And that could have changed the entire game. If Green doesn't get the pick, what if Seattle scores and San Francisco has to march down and score themselves, which... The last couple games they've had to, they haven't got it done. Like, we could be having a whole different conversation because the NFL flubbed a challenge, which Shanahan, kudos to him, he never throws challenge flags. He got aggressive, said, you know what, game's on the line, I can get the ball back here. They even said in the broadcast, like, that was a 70-yard differential. Like, they got the ball, like, the 10 or the 8-yard line, whatever it was. Like, man, like... We could have been having a whole different conversation of how did the refs screw the Niners in this game? It was a fumble and they lost because of this. And instead, thankfully, the football gods were on our side tonight, I guess. It didn't matter at all. So who cares? Like, man.
Yeah, that was a weird, weird moment in this football game, but you guys are right. At least it didn't turn into 7 points for the Seahawks and didn't really feel like it changed the outcome of this game. A big reason why was not that possession, but the following Seahawks possession. Renardo Green with the interception. That turned into George Kittle's touchdown, his second touchdown. He and Kyle Juszczyk then at that moment jump into the stands where both their wives are waiting. Special day for George Kittle. He celebrated his 31st birthday yesterday. He gets two touchdowns today, Thursday night football in Seattle, and after scoring his second, he gets to jump up into the stands with his wife, Claire. Kyle Juszczyk jumping up in the stands with his wife, Kristen, and a fun moment there for the Niners in Seattle as they win final score 36-24.
Can I be negative Nancy for 2 seconds?
Go ahead.
Or should I wait? Were you going to go to a call?
I was going to, but you...
Okay, no. Let that person cook. I'll be negative Nancy later. It's
fine. Okay, we got plenty of time for you to be negative Nancy.
Yeah.
All right. Up next, we got Jose in Virginia. This might actually lead into you, Kyle, because I think Jose wants to sound some alarms. Despite the win for the Niners, he's not sold. Jose, what's
Jose.
Up? You're on overtime on 95.7 The Game. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? I just want to say I listen to y'all. It gets lonely as a Niners fan in Virginia, but... Am I the only one that's not satisfied with this win? Like, it was ugly. Like, I have to respectfully disagree with all you guys. Like, one of y'all said that we was dominant. Win. In the first half, how many times did we see that? How many times did we see that? DJ Metcalf had a TD that got called back. Geno threw a catchable pass in the end zone that didn't get called. And if we didn't have that big run at the end, I think it would have been a close game. And then one of y'all said that it reminded you of the 2003 Niners. This is the first time we scored over 30 points. Last year, we averaged over 30 points besides a losing streak.
Didn't they score 30 in week one?
Definitely is.
Yeah, 32.
If you can look up.
You're good, Jose. Keep going.
32, yeah. But,
and they had 30 against New England.
So... I lost my train of thought, but I'm saying like it was not pretty. I'm saying like I don't know who to blame. The defense. I want to blame the defense, but the offense is killing me with the third down conversions in the end zone, and our magic, unique cheat or coach that the only unique play that I ever saw was Kyle Juszczyk at the end of the play.
Yeah, Jose, I think you're onto something. I think you're onto something in terms of like there's levels to this Niner team, and at least compared to what our expectations were going into the season, they didn't perform tonight up to that level of expectation. Like, if you come out with this kind of performance against one of the better teams in the NFL, you're probably going to lose. At the very least, you're not going to be winning by double digits. Like, this was not a world beaters performance, but it's a matter of baby steps for the 49ers, because you were staring a 2-4 start to the season square in the eyes, and all you needed to do was get a win. You will deal with fixing the things that still were not great today, and like, don't get it twisted. There were a lot of things that were not great in this game tonight. So I think, Jose, you have every right to still not be sold that this is a team that can win a Super Bowl, because I'm not there. I mean, they're 3-3, for goodness sake. Like, there's a lot of room for this Niner team to continue to improve and to get better. Today was a step in the right direction, but let's not pretend like suddenly they win this game in kind of ugly fashion, and now we're suddenly convinced they're right back to the team they were last year.
No, but they were 5 of 12 on third down. That's fine. 42%, that's a fine number. 3 of 5, 60% in the red zone. That is a much better number. They were up 20. They had the kickoff return go for a touchdown. The Seahawks got a stop, and then they went down and scored again, and that was as close as they got the rest of the game. Like, that's a short week on the road, division rival. You will take that type of win every single day in the week, but especially on Thursday. I don't 7.9 yards per play to 4.9 for Seattle. I mean, this was a fine performance for the 49ers, especially given what we've seen for the last three out of the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, there is definitely room to nitpick, and we can do that as we continue.
One.
And Kyle definitely wants to get something off his chest, so we'll do that on the other side. We got more of your calls to get to. Plus, we do have Kyle Shanahan's post-game press conference where he will update us on some of the injuries in this one. There are a few to keep an eye on. Jordan Mason did not play essentially the entire second half. Malik Mustafa, similar story there. Also, Aaron Banks was in and out, and he did not return towards the end of the game. One of the Niners starting offensive linemen. So those are three big ones. We will hear from Kyle Shanahan on that and more. Plus your calls coming up as we continue. It's Mark Randy, Kyle Mathen, Sterling Bennett with you. Overtime continues after the Niners win in Seattle right here on 95.7 The Game.
Green! And so the rookie involved in the last play gets involved in the next play, and the rookie out of Florida State with a huge pick.
Now back to overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
Welcome back. 36-24, the final score. 49ers over the Seattle Seahawks on Thursday Night Football up in Seattle. Al Michaels, courtesy of Amazon. If you are watching in the Bay, you were probably watching on KTVU Fox 2. Renardo Green, a huge interception. Niners' second-round pick in this year's NFL draft, and he was kind of forced into action. We've seen him in and out of the lineup throughout the first 5 weeks of the season, forced into regular and consistent action in this one because Mooney Ward, inactive, found out about an hour and a half before kickoff when inactives are released per the NFL, and he stepped up and he made one of the plays of the game. Not as if he played a perfect game, and you don't expect that out of a rookie when you're going up against receivers like DK Metcalf and Jackson Smith and Jigba, who has, by the way, overtaken Tyler Lockett for wide receiver two in Seattle. You could even make a case JSN might be the best receiver in Seattle. He's been awesome so far this season. It is a good receiving core. Renardo Green, he was up to the task. A huge play there. Helped stem the tide. I mean, all the momentum was with the Seattle Seahawks at that point. They had a special teams touchdown. Yep. Their defense got consecutive stops against the 49ers, who, you know, you could maybe be upset or frustrated with the way that things went in the red zone, but the Niners, really, like they've done for the majority of the season, when they have the ball, they've been moving the ball, like, well, not a lot of three and outs, some here and there, but the Seahawks had just gotten two stops in a row. They get the ball back. It's worry time if you're a Niner fan. Then Renardo Green steps in and turns the game around.
Here's the deal. You're going to win a lot of games going at 7.9 yards per play. By the way, NFL leader right now is the Ravens at 6.8 for the season. So 7.9 is a huge number. You go 7.9 yards per play and you go 60% in the red zone, you're going to win a ton of games where you're doing that. But yeah, that Renardo Green play, man, that flipped the game back. And that was, I don't want to ascribe this to anybody else. I was sitting out there like, you got to fire people. You lose this game, you got to fire people. This is insane. But yeah, that was with the mindset of what happened in week 3 and what happened in week 5. Two division teams where they blew a 10-point lead with all these little things going wrong, and they just could never right the ship. They couldn't get the play that swung the game back their way. Because it's going to happen. There's going to be ebbs and flows, especially in a division game on the road in a short week. And that's what we've been waiting on is hey, can you pull that momentum back? Can you just not let go of the rope right away every time the game starts to slip away? And they did. They literally took it back with Renardo Green taking an interception. Yeah. It started with the Mitch Wischnowski punt, by the way, dropping him on the three.
Oh, yeah.
It was insane.
He was great tonight.
Came to play.
Great tonight.
He absolutely was. So Renardo Green gets the pick. Niners score a touchdown. The Seahawks don't score again until there's a minute 49 left. And then the Niners need to get a first down to win the game. Like, that's just kind of how football games go. So that was a massive, massive play. But I keep going back to the fact that they did finally punch it into the red zone with George Kittle there at the end. Because you kick the field goal, you make it 9. Now they need to score a stop and a field goal to win. And now it's a little dicey. So that was kind of the big takeaway for me, was they figured out how to score in the red area.
I want to go back. I think it was Jose was the caller. He said he wasn't sold on this game, and
sure,
there's certainly reasons to believe, okay, you know, San Francisco could have very easily lost this game had it been week 3 and been week 5, right? What if I told you this was the most points San Francisco has scored in Seattle since 1988?
Wow.
What would I tell you? You'd be like, no way. Oh my God. No way. Yeah. They scored 33 points in 2008. They haven't scored 36-plus points in Seattle since 1998. So for as maybe not sold as Jose might be, and there's some validity to that in certain areas, but San Francisco walked into Seattle on a short week, banged up, without four defensive starters, a decimated defensive line, an offense that had no groove, no consistency, and put up 36 points against a, at the time, first-place team in the NFC West. I get it's the Seahawks and it's Geno Smith. There's a thought of they're not that good, right? But they've now lost three games in a row. You've established yourself as the, at the moment, number one team in the NFC West again, putting up 36 points on the road in Seattle. That is like never a score prediction for San Francisco. It's always 24-20, 26-23. It's going to be a close game. Something crazy might happen. And some crazy stuff did happen, but San Francisco almost put up 40 in Seattle. Yeah. That never happens. Like, yep. We should be celebrating. Yes.
Yeah.
And they relatively easily could have put up 40. I mean, if one of those early red zone opportunities is a touchdown on a field goal, you have 40 points. Like, that easy. Yep. After the fumbled kickoff return by the Seahawks, you get that and you punch it into the end zone instead of kicking a field goal, you have 40 points and you win 40-24. It might change how the rest of the game goes, but you have 40 points. You simply add four. You got three instead of seven. You get those seven instead of the three, four extra points. You got 40, and that's how close it was to that. That's kind of been the story of the Niners season. It's you left a little bit out there on the field, but this time it did not cost you the win, and you win 36-24. Kyle, I want to hear from you in terms of some nitpicking things
I'm angry
about.
All night. Let's hear from the people.
But there is, I think, maybe a caller that we can get to that will lead into that take from you. Let's go to Junior in Pacifica. He's been hearing some excitement from us, and I'm just going to defend ourselves before we go to you, Junior, because the Niners had just lost to the Rams, who have one win on the year, and to the Cardinals, who now have two wins on the year. I'm celebrating any win at this point, even if it's over the Carolina freaking Panthers by one point. A win is a win. The Niners needed it. I'm not going to apologize for my excitement, Junior, but I will allow you to have the floor. What did you think, Junior, of this Niner win today?
No, good one. It's all good. But, you know, I totally get being relieved. I am completely relieved. And sometimes you're so relieved, you're excited about the win, right? Because you have so much relief. But, you know, we are 3-3, and that projects out to 8-8-1. And I know we're a better team than that, but we have Super Bowl winning aspirations. I want to just look at the big picture, and, you know, we've got the Chiefs coming up, which is not an easy game, right? Without McCaffrey, that's a tough one. So the point being, like, the thing I've wanted this season is, can we show that we're a consistently winning team without McCaffrey and maybe an excellent, you know, top flight, on track to play in and win the Super Bowl team with him? Right, because he's such an important player to us, and I think we're showing that it's really nail biting time if he's not suiting up, and that's not where we want to be. Because then, even when he is healthy, then all the team has to do to put us in a corner is to contain him. Right,
yeah,
so we can't let him be such a focus, and so I just want to see us figure out how to play with more consistency. Brock Purdy's been amazing, a quiet story, and that's a rock for the rest of the season and going forward. He'll be getting paid next year, so, you know, it all will make more sense then. This is our last really lucky year with Brock's emergence. Can we make the most of it, and can we not let Christian's, you know, appearance or not be the deciding factor in every game?
Appreciate the call, Junior. I think there's a couple of different perspectives you can look at this from. 6 weeks into the season, are you happy or disappointed with how it's gone? Clearly, it's disappointment.
Correct.
Tonight, I'm excited because they got a win in Seattle on Thursday Night Football.
Absolutely. If you're wanting to look big picture right now, that's not what we're doing right now. Look at this game tonight.
You asked me preseason. They're 3-3 through 6 weeks. That's terrible.
Big thumbs down.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're probably like, dang, was McCaffrey out? Was Debo out? Did Brock get hurt? What happened? And so I get it. Like, big picture, the 49ers are not where they need to be. And big picture, Mark, you said this earlier, they can't continue to play with fire like this, where early in games they have shots at the red zone and they're not scoring touchdowns and they're having special teams mistakes, which they've had. I just did a list. They've had a special team mistake in each of the last five games, a pretty catastrophic one. There are so many things they have to clean up. But if after every game, like, obviously everybody knows what the goal is with this team, it's the Super Bowl. Like, that's it. That's if they don't win a Super Bowl, this year was not a winner. So that's obvious. But at the same time, they weren't going to improve to that level overnight. You're not going to see the 49ers, if they are to reach that level this year, you're not going to see that until what? End of November, December.
And you don't really want to see it until then either.
Yeah, right. And that's just the hallmark of this team. Like I said earlier, they're under 500 in October under Kyle Shanahan. That's just kind of, I don't know what it is, but midway through the year, they make some adjustments and they figure some things out and they start playing better. That's kind of what I'm relying on. You just need to stack wins right now. That, for the next few weeks, it's just about how do you get a W to put yourself in a position where when you do start playing better football, it actually matters and actually gets you toward, hey, can you push for the one seed? Are you pushing for a division? Where are they at? But if they go, it's I have a hard time right now complaining about a win where they never trailed and they slammed the door in a way that we've been. After the Rams game, they just didn't close. After the Cardinals game, they just didn't close. They closed tonight! That's a step forward. I don't know what these people want, Sterling.
Well, they want 36 points and no points for the Seattle Seahawks.
That's fair.
They want to pitch a shutout.
That's fair.
I think maybe, the expectations walking into the year were San Francisco is going to beat every team on their slate. Or if they're not going to beat them, they'll lose by three. It'll be really close at the end, and that's not how things have gone. But with the way things have gone, how do you not look at this game as a massive victory? Yeah, it's a victory in the win column, but it's like what San Francisco showed tonight, and I don't know about you guys, but there was some doubt creeping in of, can this team close a game? There was this, who are the 2024 San Francisco 49ers? Do you have the grit? Do you have the ability to dig deep in yourself and make a big play when it matters most? You haven't for five games. Are you going to show up tonight? And this team answered that. Now, can they do that against the Chiefs in 10 games? Who knows? This team could fall apart for all we know in the next, couple weeks. But as of right now, as of tonight, first place NFC West, played their best game of the season by far in a game they had to win against an opponent they had to beat in a place they rarely ever win. So it's like, this is an opportunity, or this was an opportunity for San Francisco to say, you know what? Enough's enough. Back's against the wall. We're going to push back. And they did. And their back was against the wall coming into the game. It was against the wall in the game, during the game, and they continue to push back. And that's a great sign to see for a team that, at the moment, has to kind of fight and claw their way back into the NFL playoff picture.
Yeah, absolutely. And they got the job done. 36-24 was the final score. It's overtime here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy, Kyle Madsen, Sterling Bennett with you. Let's keep going on the phone lines. Up next is RJ in Fairfield. RJ, what's up? You're on overtime on 95.7 The Game. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I feel good. I just ate a double quarter pounder, so I feel good.
Ooh, my man. More, guys. My man.
I'm jealous,
Let's
RJ.
Let's go, RJ.
Hey, it sounds like a lot of people on this phone line need to be eating that double quarter pounder because we just came off in an emotional win. My God, it's so doom and gloom. Like this game, Steven Spielberg couldn't write a better story. There were so many ups and downs in this game, and just for us to win this game was a big deal. Let me just say this, guys. We battled through bad replay reviews. We battled through injuries. And then how refreshing was it to see the young guys that we drafted this year
Absolutely.
To come in and make big plays? Man, I'll just say this, man. No doom and gloom callers today, man. This is a huge win. We put 36. It should have been a 50 burger, okay? So all this doom and gloom stuff need to stop. I appreciate you having me on, guys. I'm going to call back next time we have a win. I don't call when I'm sad. What I'm saying? So I'm going to call back next time we win. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah, appreciate the call, RJ. That's what we need.
Shout out to RJ. If you want to be a negative, though, we welcome that, too. Like, get your stuff off. We're going to try and make you feel better.
You got to get something off your chest, though, I've heard.
Well, now I've got two things, because RJ said something that really irked me.
Okay, go ahead.
That was a pretty run-of-the-mill NFL game. You're going to tell me that the guy that wrote the Goonies couldn't write a better script than that? Come on. Come on. Let's be real.
Yeah, one of the greatest storytellers of our generation.
Let's be real on this. Yeah. The Poltergeist, Close Encounters of the Sugar Land Express. Like, come on, we're talking Spielberg. He could write something better than a 36-24 win over the Seahawks. Brian Schneider needs to be fired.
Yes.
I take back everything I said about Kyle Shanahan. But Brian Schneider needs to go.
For those who don't know, Brian Schneider, special teams coordinator of the 49ers.
Thank you. Yeah.
Is he? No one's coordinating that unit at all.
Oh, my God.
Fantastic point. Brian Schneider, the alleged special teams coordinator of the 49ers. Week one, clean sheet. They're fine. Week two, they had the blocked punt against Minnesota. Week three, they have the fake punt conversion on 4th and 6 where they were apparently ready for it. The missed field goal, which, again, I'm just special teams mistakes. This is not a missed field goal. Is not necessarily Brian Schneider's fault. But the punt coverage in a huge spot where all you needed to do was not allow a big punt return.
Also in week two, Debo took a kickoff deep out of the end zone when he clearly shouldn't have. And Jacob Cowing fumbled a punt, but they ultimately recovered
it. That was week two, yes.
Yeah, but they recovered it anyway. Yes. So there's other mistakes in there as well.
Week four, big win, right? Fumbled kickoff by Isaac Arendo.
Yeah.
Week five, Jake Moody injured on a big kick return. He had to step up because no one else was going to, apparently.
The special teams did score a touchdown in that week.
Yeah, they did have the field goal block for a touchdown.
Congratulations.
And then you have the kick return touchdown tonight. Like, look, it's reached a point where we're a third of the way through the season, and that's basically every game. They have had a catastrophic special teams mistake. If they lose that game tonight, yeah, we're talking about Kyle Shanahan and we're talking about the offense and, oh my God, the defense and this and that. But we're also going, that all started with the kick return touchdown.
Seahawks were dead in the water.
Dead in the water. And that's the whole issue. It is giving teams life. It is putting them in positions to take control of games. And I don't know how you go back into that building. This week you have the mini bye. It's a perfect time to bring in someone new. I don't know how you go back into the building this week and say, yeah, that's the guy I want running that unit. I just don't. They have to do something different. Because this was an issue last year, too. It wasn't as
pervasive
yeah. as it is now, but it was prevalent. Prevalent is the word I was looking for.
Even bigger word.
I was wrong. Yeah. All right.
Not to brag, but shout out to the state schools.
Stingers up, am I right?
Stingers way up, dude. Sack 12. We are so back. You can't keep having this unit of football that your head coach is like, as long as they don't lose us the game. Hey, newsflash, coach, they're losing you games.
They're trying.
They're trying.
And if this continues, they will lose you future games.
Yeah, man. Yes. So I said this a couple of weeks ago. Like, they've got to get Brian Schneider. He's not that dude. They are not good enough there in that aspect. And once again tonight, kickstart Seattle like that in a spot where the 49ers had a chance to bury them.
Well, and the worst part about that is that your offense had just made the march down the field, had a heck of a drive, put the ball in the end zone out of halftime. You're feeling great. Well, you have 23 to 3. You're up 20 points, and you're like, oh my goodness, we're going to rout these guys and embarrass them. And kickoff return negates exactly what you just did. The crowd gets into the ball game, and if there's a crowd you don't want to get involved into a game, it's Seattle. Like, that is one of the worst places to play for an opposing team. No matter how many Niner fans are in that crowd rocking their red and gold, it's like you said, Kyle, how many times did the unit have to either almost cost you a game or actually cost you a game before you make a change? Who cares you won? You were going to fire Steve Wilkes had you won the Super Bowl anyways. And you'd fire Brian Schneider because you won in week 6. You know, the guy will have 11 weeks to get over himself and move on. It's like, come on. Like, the one thing you don't want is to go, okay, we survived week 6. And in, you know, the division round of the playoffs or the Super Bowl, it costs you. Because it cost you last year when McLeod fumbled. Or like, come on. It's like, it is the definition of insanity to do the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. I don't want to call Kyle Shanahan insane, but at a certain point, Kyle Shanahan, you're insane for not firing the guy who keeps costing you points.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I mean, you laid it out, Kyle. Five of the six games you've played so far. We're not talking about minor mistakes. We're talking about catastrophic mistakes. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of ways that you can mess things up on special teams. A lot of ways. Through six weeks, I think the Niners have found every single way to mess up on special teams.
Yeah, man.
Every single possible way.
Oh, also against the Cardinals, you had Robert Beal running into the kicker. I mean, thankfully it wasn't roughing.
Right.
He's catching his leg. What are you doing? And if I remember correctly, you guys might recall this too. I believe in Seattle last year, Seattle had a huge kick return. I think Darrell Luter came up with a big tackle to save a touchdown.
Yep.
But Seattle got a
Thursday night. That was Thanksgiving.
Had a huge kick return in that game too. That kind of almost changed the tide of that one.
I mean, this is not a new thing. It's been, as you were talking about, more prevalent, or as I said, more pervasive this year. But it's not like special teams have always been great for the 49ers over the last handful of years. Like, this is not a new problem. It's been so much worse this year, but it's not as if they were a top special teams unit at any point in the last couple of years either. 888-957-9570. We continue on the phone lines. Up next is Philmo Mike. Philmo, you're on OT.
Hello.
It's Mark, Randy, Kyle, Mattson, Sterling Bennett with you. Philmo, what'd you think of that Niner win?
Oh, man, great win. First, I wanted to just talk about the NFL. Y'all doing a great job tonight. NFL, I don't know what they got to do, but that's crazy because if you can't see what's going on the field, how can you make the call? And then if whoever would have won or lost the game, the game is lost, but that impacts seasons. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that was a huge miss call, and like that could have really flipped the game. But anyway, with that being said, I don't know where the last caller was solid. I don't know the other two, three callers. Like, I don't know what they expect, but we got to show love when love is due, man. You got to realize it's a long season. The offense. And the dude was like, I want to see the offense look different without CMC. How? How can you look different? Mm-hmm. That's like saying I want to look different without Steph Curry on the court. What are you talking about, bro? How does not it go look the same with CMC not there? Come on, bro. Now, what I do like is we're starting to learn. We're starting to use check a little bit more. Cal's starting to use the different variations and different skills and talents and whatnot and all that good stuff. What this win does also is, to me, some of the ugliest wins are the prettiest wins. So what it does for me is, even though, you know, we have to deal with the special teams, mishaps, we got through it. We did it. You had rookies stepping up. Hey, Steve Kerr, play the rookies. Now you may be able to use them later on in the season. They're getting a callus. They're getting attrition. You know what I'm saying? So that when these other players do come back, who knows? We you know what I'm saying? We could plug and play with CMC, McCaffrey, and Garrido. Speaking of Garrido, he looked like Mostert. I don't know if y'all see. He looked like Mostert to me, for real, for real. And then my last point is 2 points. Debo may be small. He may not know how to run routes, but he high-tacks the ball way better than Metcalf, and he's tougher than Metcalf. Let's put that right on the table. Spotted by Echo. That control, another right on the table. It was so beautiful to see real love, you feel me, from tight ends and they wives, not girlfriends in the suite. You feel me? That was an epic moment. That's going. We always do something crazy in the crowd with Seattle, from T.O. to Kittle and CMC. Man, that was epic. That was man, I wish we would have did that in the Super Bowl. That was so beautiful.
Yeah. Philmo, appreciate the call. And I think Philmo's spot on with a lot of that. We got to hit a break here in just a sec, but Now, that was a feel-good win for the 49ers, and there is plenty of time to continue worrying about where the season is going. I am basking in what was a win over the Seattle Seahawks, the team that I hate the most in the NFL. And the Kansas City Chiefs might be getting up there close, and that's coming up next for the 49ers. But this was an awesome win. It felt good to celebrate a win. Niners get back to 500 at 3-3. They win by 12, 36-24. We could talk about McCaffrey and the offense, the lack of McCaffrey. I mean, they put up 36 points. They averaged nearly 8 yards per play, and they averaged over 8 yards per play on the ground. Like, this offense is still chugging along. Maybe McCaffrey makes a difference in the red zone. Maybe that's the only reason the red zone has been poor so far this year. But, I mean, they are still getting big chunks on the ground and moving the ball even without McCaffrey. We can dive into that. We will hear from Kyle Shanahan coming up on the other side as well as overtime continues. Mark Randy, Kyle Madsen, Sterling Bennett with you. Niners are victorious. We got one more hour left with you. More next on 95.7 The Game.